Today, Bill Shorten announced at the National Press Club that he would institute a new federal corruption watchdog with Royal Commission powers within 12 months of taking office. Many have been calling for this for years after expenses, scandals and rorts have focused a need to shine a light on the dark corners of government and the public sector. Roderick Chambers asked the University of Technology's Associate Professor of Politics, Policy and Applied Ethics, Bly Grant, whether this National Integrity Commission would be like the state anti-corruption watchdogs.
Well, it's very similar in the sense that it is. It would be, putatively speaking, Bill's, the opposition leader's National Integrity Commission would be a commission of investigation, so it doesn't involve a court of law. So it would have fairly serious powers of investigation, those equivalent to a royal commission, which is about as serious as it gets in this country. But nevertheless, it would only have the authority to investigate and to make recommendations to the Department of Public Prosecution. So it's similar to all of the statutory organisations that currently exist in the states, the sovereign states, and also the Northern Territory. They've all got one. They're all a little bit different, but they all do more or less the same thing.
Why do you think we haven't had one in federal parliament before?
That's an excellent question. I think it's because we've always had the ability, Parliament's always had the ability to call a royal commission, and it's done that on many occasions since its inception. And a royal commission at a federal level is just as thoroughgoing and as cogent and as morally defensible as they are at the state level as well. So that's always been the go-to in terms of addressing these kinds of issues if they're regarded as systemic. We've always had that lever or that button, I suppose, but setting up a permanent statutory authority under the auspices or the guidance or the responsibility to the Australian Federal Parliament is taking it one step further, and I think that's very important to note.
Because it sounds a bit like it's having a permanent royal commission on hand, but it does say it's only for the public sector, so that wouldn't cover something like the Banks Royal Commission coming up now, would it?
No, absolutely not. So it's designed, as in fact the ones in the sovereign states are, as a mechanism of oversight for the government. So if you have a look at, for example, the one in Western Australia is called the Western Australian Corruption and Crime Commission. So it's auspiced with looking at the activities of government and its ancillary bodies. And similarly with all the other, I mean, I could rattle off the names, but they're all more or less the same in terms of their auspice. So the federal government nevertheless would have the power to call a royal commission, for example, as it has done into any particular issue that it so desires. And the example that they've used is into the banking sector. So yes, it would exist aside from the power of royal commissions.
So do you think we'd see a few less royal commissions, or it just would add to the investigations going on?
But we probably wouldn't see less royal commissions because a royal commission is extremely serious. So if you're looking at systemic problems in a particular sector, then that lever is reached for. This is more an oversight mechanism. Okay, so it's investigative, but it's continual. So royal commissions are normally only used when there is great, I suppose, a degree of moral worrying about what's going on in a particular sector, and the banking sector is a very good example. The ones that we had in Queensland and in New South Wales, the Fitzgerald Inquiry and the Woods Royal Commission into the respective best and fairest, quote-unquote, of those states at that time in the 80s are very similar examples. The other point as well is that it's important to recognise, I think, from a more strategic level, that this really is a move away from the reliance in the last, I suppose, two decades on codes of conduct, for example, ministerial codes of conduct. So, if we've got the way that we address problems of misdemeanours or perhaps systemic corruption is we get people to sign a little piece of paper saying they're going to be good boys and girls, and then we get on with the rest of our lives. This is a little bit different and is representative of a swing away from the self-policing mode to more traditional oversight mechanisms.
And there's been a few leaks going around from ministers' files recently in the sphere of asylum seekers and what have you. Do you think Bill Shorten's on a bit of a winner here with this commission, do you think, politically?
Well, I think that's a very good point, is that it's a very, in a way, it's quite an easy card to play politically, because you're playing the law and order card, but you're also playing it against politicians and the state. So in that sense, if one was profoundly cynical, one might say that it's a political winner for the leader of the opposition and a way to increase the profile of the opposition.
Dr. Bly Grant, Associate Professor of Politics, Policy and Applied Ethics at the University of Technology, Sydney, ending that report.